good song service, and again, your fellowship tonight meant a great deal to me, and just ask for your continued prayers. I stand before you. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to read to you from the Acts of the Apostles, and I'd like to look at the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. We'll begin reading right at verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. This is the account of the work of grace that happened in the life of Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord calling the Apostle Paul to the work of the ministry and as an apostle, and how God worked so powerfully in his life. And I pray that the Lord would just bless us tonight as we look at this portion of his word. I want to remind you before we begin that which you already know, but what we need to be reminded of, that as we're reading from the Bible, we're reading from the truth. We're reading from God's inspired word. In Psalm 12, verse 6, he says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So the book that we have before us, I believe, is these pure words that are given to us that are the words of the Lord, that are, the simile is, as silver tried in the furnace 7 times, greatly, highly purified, which means what we've got all is altogether the truth of God's word. And God not only gave it by inspiration, but he also inspired, he breathed it, and he's kept it. He's kept this word. And as long as this world stands, we'll have his word preserved for us. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight, to know that we're not just guessing and not just speculating when we read to God's children the word of God. We're reading the truth as it is in Christ. 2 Peter says it this way, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That's the 21st verse of the first chapter of 2 Peter. And he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy in the 19th verse. That is a reference to, even if we had heard the voice of God from heaven, we have tonight in the word of God that we're reading and you're hearing a more sure word of prophecy than if we had heard literally the voice of God from heaven. Now that was certainly a sure word that came from God. But we can have just as much confidence. And even here says a more sure word of prophecy has been given to us in the Bible that has been written and confirmed to us. Don't let anyone shake your confidence in God's word. This word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the men of this world and the false teachers of this world and the false prophets of this world would have you question and begin to question what the Bible says and begin to speculate based on other things that men have done or written or searched out. Let us be faithful to say, let God be true and every man a lie. Let's stick to the Word of God. If you want to know about the creation of this world, go to the Word of God. If you want to know how you ought to conduct your family, go to the Word of God. If you want to know how we're to act in the church, go to the Word of God. If I want to know how to think, that gets pretty personal, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us how to even think. And so we need to not trust. Some people say trust your own heart. Well, watch that. Your heart, that old carnal heart, that old, and of course, a circumcised heart, we can trust that, that Spirit of God which is in you. But that we have that old nature. And there are thoughts that we have. And the Bible says our thoughts are not like his thoughts. And our ways, his ways are not like our ways. And his thoughts are not like our thoughts. God's ways are as high above our ways and thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. And when you and I start just saying, well, I think I'll get this figured out and I'll see what I can do, you're already messed up and you're about to mess up more. Continue to go that way. That's why faithful ministers of the gospel need to declare the word of God to God's little children to say, let God be true and every man a liar. You follow what the word of God teaches. And when other things go contrary to it, you can simply mark those things as being wrong. It's just that simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isn't that wonderful to know? And when he did it, he didn't try to do it. He didn't make an effort at it. He, by the power of his word, he spoke it into existence. The word of God that was with God in the beginning, the word that was God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were all in the creation, and these three are one. There are many that would question that tonight and say, how can that be? I may not be able to explain how that is, but I'm telling you, the word of God says that's how it is, and that settles it. I want you to believe it, but whether we believe it or not, that settles it. Because what God has said, you can count on is true. With that thought, let's look at Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. That means the Saul here of Tarsus, who had just in chapter 7 stood by and watched the stoning of Stephen. Not only stood by and watched it, but gave his consent to it. And Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a faithful man. He was a man that God had called. And Stephen was a faithful preacher of the gospel. And Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. He was a religious man in the sense that he followed the Jews' religion. He followed the tradition of the fathers. He followed not only what was written in the Mosaic Law, but all of the other traditions that had been added to that. And he thought his righteousness, even before God, was going to be given to him because of how good he was. He thought he was all that and more. The Apostle Paul said, if you got something to brag on, he tells us in the Philippian letter, he said there were apostles who thought he wasn't as who he was, he said, they gloried in their flesh about who they were. You know, men still do that. They glory in how much knowledge they have and how many places they've been and how many degrees they have, how many titles are behind their name or in front of their name, or glory in how much they've done, even sometimes looking at it as these are the things I've done for the Lord. But listen, if it isn't coming from a circumcised heart, if it isn't coming from one who's been touched by the hand of God, if it isn't coming from the grace of God, if it's all the outward things, the Apostle Paul said, all of this he learned to count but dung that he might win Christ. And he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was circumcised, not only later on, but on the eighth day. He was circumcised. He had followed the law down to a jot. He said, according to the law, I was blameless. But he said, I learned how I was nothing when I felt I was everything. Tonight, I hope if you come in feeling like you're everything, that the word of God will just knock the stuffings right out of you. And I know this, it's only God who can give you life. But the word of God can sure enlighten you if God has given you life. It can be a blessing to you because the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching to save or deliver them that believe. That isn't how you get to heaven. I'll tell you how we're going to get to heaven. It's because Jesus died on the cross some 2,000 years ago because God loved us even before the foundation of the world. And God saw us in our sin and in our depravity, and as we were running full course, Brother Eddie Lester preached over at Zion's Rest Church, and he said, I was living in this world and I had to pedal to the metal trying to just get everything I could get out of life when the Lord really made a work in my life. Aren't you thankful he didn't just let us go? Aren't you thankful that he saw fit to make a change in our life? Some of us, it happened when we were younger, and maybe even their mother's womb, and some later on in life, some going full force in this old world, running a course that was headlong into heartache and heartbreak and no peace and no joy and no rest. And yes, sometimes we have trouble in this world. Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And sometimes we feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. But aren't you glad tonight that God didn't leave you without His grace? That He didn't just leave you where you were, but He saw fit to arrest you and cause you to love Him when you would have never loved Him otherwise. And cause you to call out for help and for hope and for strength and for life and for light. And even though we're crying for life, you know you can't cry for life unless you're alive, but you feel like you're dead. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 7. He said, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, at one time I thought I was all that and some more, but then I learned that I was nothing without the Lord. Have you learned that tonight? Do you know that? If you do, you thank God. If you understand, if it's up to me to get to heaven, I'm not going to make it. If you understand tonight that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you understand that my sins are worthy of the wrath of God that would have been poured out upon me in an eternity of torment, not because of the way man sees sin, but because of the way God sees sin. You see, I can't see sin like God sees it. But I know this, when he awoke me, I began to see in a little bit, didn't you? I still can't see as black as it is. Sometimes I kind of feel like I'm okay a little bit, you know, and then the Lord will smack me and say, you know, no, you ain't okay. I'm not okay and you're not okay. I'm not here tonight to tell you with a little smile on my face that you're okay and I'm okay. And if we just feel better, and if we just talk about positive things, and if we just talk about how we can get along just by making our and willing ourselves to that, I'm telling you, I'm not here to say that. I'm telling you by the Word of God that you and I are rotten to the core. And there's not one of us that's good, no, not one, in and of ourselves. And the only thing that we can hope in and trust in is a God who is big enough to reach a Saul of Tarsus who was causing more persecution upon the Lord's church than any man probably that lived in that particular time. Paul felt to be the chief of sinners, but he thanked God that he came to save sinners of whom I am chief. You feel like the worst of the bunch tonight? If you do, I want you to know there's good news. There's a God who not only can reach your case, but if you can see that, if that doesn't make you mad, you see, when the Apostle Paul heard Stephen preach, it didn't make him happy. He didn't enjoy it. As a matter of fact, he said, kill him. And he consented to his death. And the same gospel that he came around and started preaching was a gospel before God's grace hit him that he hated. And he wouldn't be convinced by a preacher. No preacher could have reached the Apostle Paul. No preacher could have reached you. No preacher could have reached me except one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hour is coming, and now is, he tells us in John 5 and 25, when the dead shall hear, and that's the dead in trespasses and in sins, the voice of the Son of God, that is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the voice of the preacher. It's not the voice of the Sunday school teacher. It's not anyone else's voice. It's the voice of Jesus Christ, and he hears that, and they that hear, get this, they shall live. And say, if you'll just agree to what he says, if you'll just agree to what he does, if you'll shake his hand and just agree that I'm going to follow Jesus. No, I'm telling you, when Jesus came and he knocked the Apostle Paul down, he didn't have to ask. He knocked him down. And that high-minded, high-bigoted, arrogant Pharisee who was a persecutor of the church, even to the point of murder. Listen, the Apostle Paul, living in our day and age, would have hated us and hated this church and hated you if you love the Lord. He would have gone, come, done anything he could to destroy the name of Jesus Christ. And he persecuted the Lord's people. And in doing that, Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? In other words, we better be careful how we treat God's own children. Because inasmuch as we do it unto the least of his brethren, hear this. That means I better be careful how I talk to another one of God's little children. Even though it's sometimes they can upset you, they can make you mad. You know God's children can make you mad just like everybody else. You think, well, I'm out in the world, I can get mad at the world. You never know whether you're out in the world, whether you're talking to a little child of God or not. They don't all look like his children. Saul surely didn't look like his children, but I'm telling you, he was his child even before regeneration had taken place. The Lord's eye and the Lord's hand was upon the life of Saul of Tarsus, just as much as it was in the life of Paul the Apostle. He was taking care of him. And there was a time appointed when he was going to be changed by the grace of God. I don't know when that change happened for you. I'm just thankful it happened. I'm thankful I've seen the evidence. I'm thankful for the smiles I see on the faces of God's little children when I tell them that there's salvation in Jesus Christ in his finished work. I'm thankful for the joy I see in the faces of God's little children when they've lost loved ones and you're able to tell them that they are now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and they are in heaven. And they're in heaven not because they did something. They're in heaven because he did something. He did what was necessary for them so that you and I could face the difficult thing that death is and realize it for God's little children, it's a blessing in God's time. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Y'all believe that tonight? You know, the world would say, I think you're crazy. They'd think you're crazy. Paul thought those that believed in this way were crazy. He goes on. I don't know how we're going to get along with this tonight, but I'm thankful I've been able to say what I've been able to say, and I give God the glory for that. I know this, without him, I wouldn't love the Lord. I wouldn't want to try to preach his word. I wouldn't have the fellowship with the brethren that I've had over the years. I would have never stood by a baptism and seen a baptism or been participating in a communion service. I've never had that pleasure and that benefit and that blessing in my life. And that sweet blessing that I've had in time has been so wonderful. What is it going to be when we finally get home to glory? I'll tell you, I know this. We're going to have to be changed in order to handle it. The soul and the spirit's already ready. It's already ready. It's been worked on by the grace of God. But this old body is going to have to be changed. That's why when the Lord comes again, he's going to change our vile body and make it like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in that glorious day, we'll be body, soul, and spirit with the Lord, and there'll be no sorrow there, no heartache. All will be joy, the hymn writer said, up in heaven. Beautiful city of God. What a day that will be. The Apostle Paul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Who you mad at, Saul? I'm mad at those who would preach Jesus. I'm mad at those that would declare that we are no good in and of ourselves. Those that would say the law, there's no justification by the law. Those that would say that we can't be saved by our own works and by our own efforts and by what we've done. Those that would declare the gospel, and the gospel declared that salvation was by grace through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ that was sent into this world by God the Father, the Christ that came and died and paid the sin debt, and the work of the Holy Spirit that works in the heart, causing those that are dead in sins to be alive. And circumcision of the body didn't mean anything after Jesus died. It had a purpose before. It pointed to what Jesus would do, and it pointed to the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Circumcision had to be where? Not in the flesh, but in the heart. Those who were circumcised in heart, and that's what happened to the Apostle Paul right here. It says, and he desired of him letters. He went to the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He wanted to see them even put to death. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. God said, Saul, you're not going anymore this way. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to speak, and it's going to be done. There was a work of grace done in the life of the Apostle Paul, and he was quickened and made alive. It didn't take the Lord a long time to do it. He didn't use the preacher to do it. He didn't use any man to do it. There was no evangelist there along the way. He spoke life to this one who was dead in trespasses and in sins. And though he had a zeal of the law and a zeal of the traditions of the fathers and a zeal for for those things, he had a hatred for the things of God, and there had to be a work of grace done in him. And the Apostle Paul said, when the Lord saw fit to reveal by grace, he revealed his Son in me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He saw Jesus, and he heard his voice. He saw him as a light. It says he fell to the earth. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul, he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice, listen to the voice, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There was all those around him. They saw the light, but they didn't see Jesus. They heard Paul's voice, but they didn't hear Jesus' voice. They heard Paul talking to someone, but they didn't hear who he was talking to. Listen, Jesus didn't appear to all of them. He appeared to him. And he appeared to him in a very particular and a wonderful way. And he opened up his eyes and he opened up his ears and he called him to apostleship and he called him to the ministry. And this Apostle Paul, who hated the things of God, went away from this occasion a different, changed person. Remember what we're told in the writings of the Apostle Paul. If therefore any man be in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creature. That word literally means he's a new creation. Old things, everything in the past. Your sins have been washed away. Everything in the past, everything that you did in the past, all the things you've done wrong, all the love that you had, all the things that you used to be, the old man that you used to be, old things passed away. And behold what? All things have become new. I got a new life. I got a new way of walking and living and talking and behaving. I have a life to live to the glory and the honor and the praise of God. And it's not a life I chose. It's a life he chose for me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. And then there's that which I am to embrace because of what he's done for me. And I'm telling you, until God first works in your heart, you can't work. No man can work for you. No man can do this for you. And I'm telling you, when God saw fit to turn the lights on and to give the Apostle Paul light, he didn't have any problem doing it. And that power came, that light shined. And it wasn't just darkness in the morning when the light shined. It wasn't just the sun set in the evening and the light shined. I'm telling you, we were already in the middle of the day. It was at midday. It was at the noon hour. The sun was as bright as it ever gets. And you know how bright the sun can be. You can't hardly look at it. I'm telling you, there's a light brighter than the sun. Y'all believe that? There's a light brighter than the sun. That light shined, and it shined so bright in the Apostle Paul's that he became blinded. And the Lord spoke unto him, and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why didn't he just leave Saul right where he was? Was God owing Saul anything? And then the question comes, why didn't he leave you and me right where we were? Did God owe me? Did God owe you anything? He didn't owe us a thing, did he? I'll tell you what we deserved. The Bible tells us the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. And that death is not just dying corporally, that's part of it. But that death is an eternal separation from God forever. Because of the way God sees sin and how sin is in his eyes. And God, that would be what I deserve and you deserve if it were not for the Son of God who some 2,000 years ago now came for us that were given to him. He came to save them, those that were given to him. And Saul was among them, and I trust you and I were among them. And he came, and Jesus on the cross of Calvary bore the payment for my sins and your sins so that they would never be remembered against you anymore. If that doesn't make you happy tonight, I just don't know really what to say. Sometimes we get to complain about what we don't have. Just think what we do have. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the promise of an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven, not just for anybody, but for you. That is the elect people of God, the chosen family of God. Not just a few people, but out of every nation and kindred and tongue. Even those that have never heard a gospel preacher or ever heard the sound of the preaching of God's word. If they're the Lord's people, every one of them will be effectually called by the Holy Spirit and by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you and I, as much as in us, ought to be sharing this truth, because it's what the Lord's given us to share. We ought to share it in our families. We ought to share it on the job. We ought to share it as we go through life. We ought to share it, not that we can make anyone hear it, but it's the truth, and it ought to be declared from the lips and from the hands and from the feet and from the life. It's not all the time what you say that's important. It's how you live and how you act and how you behave, so that you carry you let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father. And I say to you tonight, my light and your light is Him. It's a reflection of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Can you hear this? The Apostle Paul, how much did he know? He didn't know a whole lot. But he knew this. This is the Lord. This is the sovereign God. He says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, the Apostle Paul here has cried out, who art thou, Lord? The Lord has given him that. And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the Apostle Paul's response to King Agrippa, we find the account giving a little more detail of exactly what took place here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. You'll turn with me there. And we're going to just read that part and probably close out tonight. I'm just so thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? I'm thankful that he saw fit to come in my life. I'm thankful that he called me. I'm thankful that he, and that's my sweet hope in my heart tonight, that he spoke to me, that he gave me that burden and that hunger. I know at one time in my life that the last thing I would have ever wanted to do is stand before the Lord's people and try to preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, when I first felt that burden, I tried to run from it just as hard as I could. And I thought, Lord, you made a mistake here. I can't even make a book report. I can't even stand before a classroom of people and talk. Now, I had no idea that I'd ever turn out to be a teacher in any respect, because I just didn't like it. Public speaking was not my thing. Matter of fact, when I took public speaking in college, I broke out in hives. Had to take Benadryl. Almost went to sleep coming home because of Benadryl in my body, trying to get through a speech class. I tell you, when the Lord laid that burden on my heart, I knew there was going to be no peace anywhere else. And sometimes now I even feel like I'll just quit or just stop. And I realize I can't quit until he says quit. I didn't say get up and do it. So as much as in me is, I want to be ready to preach the gospel to you here at Front Royal. And wherever the Lord would lead me and direct me, I want to talk about this wonderful Savior. I want to talk about the love of a Father and what He did in sending His Son to die for us. I want to talk about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us at Calvary. I want to declare to God's little children that the Holy Spirit is operating in our hearts. And dear children, He's with you in the storms and in the troubles. You're not alone. If you love the Lord today, it's because He first loved you. And you're not alone when you feel like giving up. When you feel like quitting, you remember I've got a God who gives me the strength to face whatever I need to face. And when grandma's not there, mom and dad is not there anymore, the Bible says when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isn't that good to know that I'm never going to be alone because of Jesus and because of God the Father and because of the Holy Spirit? Not three gods, but one God manifest in three persons. And if you believe this tonight, I'm telling you, there's an inheritance waiting for you that's incorruptible and it's undefiled and it fades not away and it's reserved in heaven for you. And as long as I'm breathing air, I want to be able, by the grace of God, to share that with the Lord's people. And it's the truth. And I don't even know where I'm at right now. Acts 26. Right after he said to him here in Acts chapter 9, he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you go to Acts 26 and look at verse 16, you'll see verse 15 lines up right with this. And this is the Apostle Paul telling of this experience that happened on the road to Damascus. He's telling of that to King Agrippa in defense to the King Agrippa. And he gives us a couple verses here. Isn't it wonderful how the Word of God, you have to search a little bit, you have to look a little bit, but it all fits together, whatever this passage is. And that passage, it'll give you a little bit here and a little bit there. And you add to, you see all of that, and you see the whole picture that the Lord would have us to know. It's good to know it's in the Word. He says this. Verse 15 says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then he goes right on to these two verses that aren't in the account in Acts 9. That means the Lord saw fit to give it to us here. This happened. These are the words of Jesus right there when he said to him, he said to him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then he goes on in verse 16 and he says, but rise. See that? But rise and stand upon thy feet, and I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. These are the words Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul personally. He said, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. In other words, the Apostle Paul, I'm calling you to the ministry, and I'm going to give you what to say. I'm going to give you the words that you need. I'm going to open your eyes and your ears and your understanding so that when this burden that's laid on your heart to preach the gospel comes, I will be the one who gives you the ability to walk in that calling that I have given you. I'm telling you, that is a great consolation and a comfort. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord has called you to a labor will give you the strength to do the labor that he's called you unto? Have you not found that to be the case? When the Lord moves in your heart to do something, he doesn't say, okay, it's on you to get it done. He'll give you the strength to do it, the wisdom to do it, and the ability to do it. And that's what he said to the Apostle Paul. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Galatians 1 and verses 11 and 12 will tell you that the Apostle Paul says he didn't receive it of man, nor the revelation of man, but he got it from the Lord. In other words, what the Apostle Paul taught, you and I can be assured, it came directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Apostle Paul didn't even go get it from other apostles. He didn't go get it from other men. He conferred not with flesh and blood. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself gave the Apostle Paul. Why is the words of the Apostle Paul important? Because Jesus gave him those words. Tonight, if we're preaching, we need to have a thus saith the Lord to confirm the things that we're saying are so. And he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. In other words, I'm sending you to a people, and some of them are going to hate you for what you preach. Some will love you, But many of them will hate you. And some of the Gentiles that you preach to, they will love it. But some of them will hate you. And yet I'm going to be with you. And if you read the Apostle Paul, how much did he suffer for the name of Jesus? So many things that he suffered. And yet who took care of him in each and every one of those things? The Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said this is what he called him to do. We'll close with verse 18. He says to open their eyes. The gospel does not give life to the dead, but the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel shines light and brings life and immortality to light. When you preach the gospel, it doesn't bring the dead to life, but it brings revelation and understanding. It teaches you, you learn more, you grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. It opens their eyes. It turns them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now, the forgiveness of sins that we receive in hearing the gospel isn't how you get your sins forgiven. Our sins were forgiven through the blood of Jesus. But I need that application in my heart, don't I? I need to know that my sins are forgiven. I need to trust Him that my sins are forgiven. I need peace, and I need comfort, and I need rest about my sins. Oh, tonight I'm telling you, if Jesus died for you, your sins are forgiven, and all of the believing in the world won't make that any more so than it is. But it'll sure help your heart if you embrace the reality of what Jesus did for you. Doesn't it give you peace when you can say, I know He did that, or I'm trusting that He did that for me. My hope is in Him and what He did for me. And I receive forgiveness of sins when I see what He did for me and I say, oh, that settles it. My hope is in nothing but the blood of Jesus. And He says, an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, there's an inheritance. It's incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved for us in heaven. There's also an inheritance that God's little children enjoy right here in this world as we're living, as we believe what Jesus has said in His Word, and we rest in it. We have fellowship with the saints, and we get to see and enjoy all the blessings. It's like the earnest of our inheritance. It is the earnest of our inheritance. It's a little foretaste that we get right now of that which is to come. I need that, don't you? Right now. May the Lord allow us tonight to trust in Him and lean upon Him and be thankful for what He has done for us and enjoy the comfort that comes in resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what He said we would have when He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I do appreciate your kind attention tonight. Please pray for me and continue to pray for me. Pray for our little church. Pray for one another that the Lord would just supply to us just what we need so that we would trust in Him more and more and lean not on our own understanding. So easy for us to try to get into something and say, I think I can handle this. I think I can take care of it. And in reality, we are just as helpless with timely things as we are with eternal things. We need the grace of God. We have grace for grace. Isn't that good? When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. Appreciate your attention.
What number?